good evening, and thank you for tuning in to our second edition of Saving Lives. I have Art here with me doing all the little buttons and controls because, you know, I'm electronically not compatible, whatever you want to call that. Mm-hmm. And we have a special guest here. It's Nicole. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Nicole.
Thanks for coming. So we have an exciting show tonight, and, you know, we are going to talk about, obviously, recovery and, you know, what it means to be in recovery, how it feels, what do we do now that we are in recovery, and, you know, our show's Saving Lives. So obviously we're here all about trying to save lives. Now, I know, Nicole, you participate in a show in Philadelphia. You want to care to share about that?
It's an organization, more so. It's called Angels in Motion, and we do street outreach in the city of Philadelphia and surrounding counties.
I know Angels in Motion.
Yeah, I figured you. Because I'm familiar with City of Angels, so I reached out for help when we had someone in Jersey that needed help.
Yeah, I really try and share a lot of their stuff, man. You're really like more of a group of moms that really go out and try and, you know, help the kids that are on the street. Mm-hmm. And
that's incredible, too, because it's like, it's right around the corner, you know what I mean, from where we live. And it's just like, it's such a sad thing to watch when, you know, you drive by or, you know, you're going to the city for whatever reason. And it's just constant. And I know that we also have a hotline too, and you can contact us at cityofangelsradio.com/saving. Or also our number if you want to call in tonight to the call or to the on air is 609-241-7103. If you guys have anything to say or want to share how you're living your life of recovery. So back to Nicole, do you want to share a little bit about what brought you here?
Yeah, Jen did.
I love her. She's going to run a little bit late today.
I know, which is normal when you're in this business.
Absolutely.
It doesn't take a break or stop. My paid job is I'm a certified recovery specialist.
That's amazing. So I know Art has a little bit to share about that with courses.
Yes. I am with ProAct.
Okay.
I'm in Chester County. We just opened that office in August, and I've been there since. We have a recovery community center down at 17th and Lehigh who does a lot of outreach also for, you know, we have groups and for the homeless and the addicted. That's my paid job. Mm-hmm. My volunteer, which is my passion, is with Angels in Motion. I actually found them through ProAct because they were my externship. After I
oh, wow. Yeah. That's awesome. I see your t-shirts, too. I was like, dude, I need to get some t-shirts made. Like,
yeah, it's our uniform.
Right.
And what we do there is to try to change the face of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Try to change how people are treated in the system and on the streets.
Right. I know when I first heard of, like, this whole thing of recovery or what I thought, like, an addict was, like, I thought it looked a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was, you know, the person on the street living with a bag in their hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. And it's your nurses, your doctors, your teachers, your daughters, your sisters, your wives, your husbands. It's from jail to Yale, literally from jail to Yale. And it affects so many people. Like, you know, they talk about this big epidemic. And I always wonder, like, has it always been an epidemic? It's just now people are coming
to light. And it affects the same list of people that you just mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every one of them.
Right. You know? And it's just like, it's people like what you do and what Art does and like what I'm trying to get into and like sharing our voice and like sharing that there is a way out and that life can be beautiful. It's just what gives people a little bit of hope. And I know that's why I got here.
We need that hope.
Yeah,
that's what keeps us going from day to day.
Even like driving here today, I was like, oh God, I can't do this. But I'm like, whatever. The only person that should care about what I think of me is me. So like, why not? You know, people need to know that there is a way out. They need to know that there is a whole other side to it. For me, you know, I have a few years in recovery, and I wound up, like, I live, like, the dream right now. Like, I quit my job. I work for myself. I'm a hairdresser. I educate on essential oils. And I come out on a Thursday night, and I'm talking on a radio station. Like, hello? What better yet could you have?
I know.
And I know you have a son, a little boy.
Yes, I have a daughter. She's actually in long-term treatment. She turned 18, but she graduated there.
Oh, nice.
Is at a place where she said it saved her life.
Right.
So that was tough. A 3-year-old.
That's the one I remember. Little blue eyes, just like you.
Yes, he's my best friend. We're best friends. He gets me.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't know that we could have this kind of life until I got into recovery. We just celebrated 8 years on January 1st.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But it's not even about me or that anymore. It's about sharing that hope, like mm-hmm. you said, because we don't know. Like, we saw, did you see the paper yesterday in Delaware County with the
amount of people? Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it brings awareness.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to share the people that are in recovery instead of putting that on the front of the newspaper. That's what
absolutely
for this is.
And that's usually what it is. It's like in the papers, in the media, it's all they call it the war story. It's all the bad stuff.
You know,
it's
but it's really hard to get any coverage on a regular basis. You know, they all want to do stories with you. You know, mm-hmm. Overdose Prevention Day in August. Right. And, you know, we had a... the candlelight vigil at the State House steps that, you know, Kevin spoke at and, you know, and Christy held. And, you know, the media was right there snatching moms,
right.
you know.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, to talk to them. But, you know, which is good because that gives us the chance, but it just doesn't happen enough.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. That's and, why, like, and, things and are these are necessary.
Angels of Motion does awesome work. I mean, they really, you know, they're down there on the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And that's right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they need gloves and socks and a sandwich,
right.
And
yeah.
You know what I mean. They're not there because they want to be there. There,
right? I don't hear that, and no one tells us that out there. That this is, you know, the dream that I wanted since I was a child. Nobody mm-hmm. wakes up and says, "Oh, I want to live in an abandoned building." You know what I mean? It's just not the way it works. And our way to create that relationship is through the blessing bags, the
right.
food. And that's how we start the relationships with them on the streets and hope that, you know, one day they want to get treatment or help.
You know, that's the same thing with mm-hmm. us at City of Angels. I mean, all you can do is offer them hope. You can't take them kicking and screaming.
Right.
I mean, it has to be their terms when they're ready.
Sometimes you want to shake them. And
you know, that's why we're so, people are like, well, every time they come back, you're there for them. Well, that's right. And when they continue to come back, we're still going to continue
right.
to be there for them because we don't know when that one time is going to be that, mm-hmm. that the light's going to come on for them.
Right. And then, you know, when they get it, there's the amount of people that they can actually save and help in their own journey. You know, it's like just astronomical.
And that's absolutely true because even in the prevention battle, which, you know, you still have to have prevention. I think we need more recovery, active recovery in the epidemic
absolutely.
Way. But you still need prevention in the schools. And I don't know what better prevention than to be marching kids in recovery in their own age group, you know, before them, you know, showing them that there's hope. This is what I was before. This is what I am now. You know.
Samhsa, and that was the topic, youth prevention, and that was the
right.
That's the message. They need to hear it from peers.
And mm-hmm. it's that scared straight doesn't work
no.
anymore, you know. You know, Michael DeLeon has steered straight, you know what I mean,
yes.
which is the total opposite of scared
older?
Straight. Actually,
I don't remember this.
Michael's a little younger than me, but he has kids that are, you know, in recovery that he brings with him that speak to kids, and they have a whole program that they do. I mean,
right.
that's what they do, and, you know, I've watched it march throughout the United
mm-hmm.
States at this point in time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it started here in New Jersey, and it really blossomed
mm-hmm.
into...
That's incredible.
Yeah, they've...
And, like, why, though?
Yeah.
Why is it so... Why are we so afraid to, like, say, hey, I had an issue, and, like, I got help, and here I am now.
Stigma.
Is it what other people's going to think?
You know,
yeah, the stigma.
It's
like ridiculous. It's people like me. I mean, I don't have a filter sometimes. Like, there's times where I'm like, oh, I'm just in recovery. No, I, like, suffered for a long time, went through hell and back, and, like, now I'm out on top. Like, why should I be afraid to say that to anybody?
What's my favorite quote? I love people that have been to hell and come walking through the flames carrying buckets of water.
Absolutely. See, I love that. That is awesome. I was thinking, like, you know, twirling around those little fire things, but
yeah.
coming out that way. But I like yours a lot better, your ending to that. So if you guys want to call in, whether you are in recovery, whether you need to be, whether you know someone's in recovery, our number is 609-241-7103.
And if you don't want to talk in radio, but you need, you know, assistance right now, or you're ready to enter into recovery, you can call our hotline at 609-910-4942. There's always somebody there to answer the phone, and you know, we can help point you in the right
direction.
He has such
a radio voice, doesn't he? I just am, like, amazed by, like, It's perfect. He's had to be doing this for like his entire life, and he just started doing it the last few years volunteering. And
my life's almost over.
Darn it. Hey, you could start whenever. There's a lot of people that become like up there in their later years.
I love that one guy. What was he, the homeless guy that they got with the with the radio voice? I mean, he ended up going back to drugs and the street and stuff. But that guy, I mean, they had him on the side of the road, and he was just radio voice. Although he was an announcer, it sounded
See, that's incredible.
Yeah, they shaved him, fed him, put him, got him all hooked up, got him. So one of the TV stations hired him and everything. Right. And right back at it.
It's all about the food.
Yeah, it's all about the food.
And it's like just not participating in life. Mm-hmm. Like I know for me, like I surround myself with people that are in recovery that like, and we have fun. We have so much fun.
We do.
Camping. Oh my God. There was a day, a morning actually, and I was never good in the mornings. We went to a friend's house. Her name's Steph, and it was a bunch of girls in recovery and making breakfast. Actually, I didn't make the breakfast. I just watched them make it. I cleaned up. I'm just not good with cooking, but like that's like what we do. Like that was so much fun, and it was just like a bunch of girls like hanging out like a sleepover.
Yeah.
Like, what better life? Like, could you? I mean, I don't know.
It's the fellowship again. You know.
Definitely the fellowship. And I, me and my little notes, I was reading some things earlier, and it's one of the things is when we criticize others, we're giving them permission to do that to us too. We're not allowed to make mistakes, hurt, or pain. We don't need to seek help or pain. Now, language is incredibly powerful. I'm a words girl. That is my love language, and they could be profound both positively and negatively. So our words can impact people for good or for bad.
Words hurt.
They do. So bad.
Isn't that from a cartoon? And,
even if they don't hurt, they can empower you. Like, I was on my way here, like, literally thoughts of running the car into a brick wall because I'm like, what am I doing? How did I get myself into this kind of stuff? Why do I constantly put myself in uncomfortable positions? And my friend texted me, and they were like, you know what? I'm proud of you. And, like, that one line, like, I'm proud of you, I was like, man. Thank you. Like, that is the one thing I needed to hear. To be like, and I know my mom's proud of me, my dad's proud of me, my family's proud of me. But like, every once in a while, it's nice to hear it. Yeah. Exactly. And like, our words can have so much meaning behind it.
And the words are helping us. Changing the words are helping us change the stigma. Mm-hmm.
And I've told my kids their entire life, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Right, absolutely. It's all labels.
It is.
And labels are something that, not me personally or you personally, it's like they've been given to us. Like when you're a child, like if a baby's crying, another baby constantly will just cry too when it hears it. It doesn't care what color, where you came from, doesn't care how much money you have, how little money you have. All it is just another baby that's like sad.
Yeah.
But like the labels we give to ourselves, like that little box that you check with your nationality, black, white, Caucasian, Indian, Mexican, whatever, they're labels. And all this pain, all this hurt, all this war stuff that goes on in the world is because of labels. Because you're not in the same box as I'm in.
And even with us inaugurating a new president and the country being the most divisive that I could ever remember it, I hold hope that tomorrow we'll at least begin to bring people together. I can't wish him bad. It's like wishing yourself bad. I mean, I live here, and I wish him great success. But I saw a farewell letter from Director Botticelli today, which made me sad because he has been a wonderful advocate for us, in the White House. I don't know who is going to run the Office of Drug Policy in the new administration, but I hope they continue, to reach out to, the mom and pop nonprofits that are out there fighting this battle on the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
The moms and dads who've lost, their children and continue this battle, in that honor.
Right.
So
amazing.
He is.
I've met him. He went to the ProAct Wall for the last few years.
Yes.
So I had the honor to be able to just say hello, and that was just, he, I mean, he travels all the way from Washington to show support on Penn's Landing to, you know.
Yeah, he's and he's quite a guy. I mean, he really is. I mean, Kevin spent, you know, quite a few visits to the White House, you know, for family visits and things like that. So
that's incredible. I missed that article. I'll definitely have to catch up on it.
Yeah, it's gonna be curious to see where we go in the future. I mean,
somebody can we really get any worse at this point? Like, no. I feel like there's only
and,
up. Like,
and I don't believe that the Trump administration's going to do that.
No, not at all.
I believe that they're going to help the recovery community. It'll just be curious to see.
I'm curious to see what's going to happen with insurance for people. That's what I'm curious about. But I feel like, yeah, like, we needed a change. Everybody said, oh, you know, this world needs something but a change. Well, we got the freaking change, so it is what it is.
Well, that, and, you know, and in here in New Jersey, we have Governor Christie, who's, you know, his last year. I mean, that guy's hugging the recovery community. We're like, come here, big guy. You know?
They've done a lot of advocacy. I mean, with the drug court legislation, advocacy has been a big, big support.
So as I'm, like, sitting here on the radio, my little sister's texting me being like, put your shoulders back, do this. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, thank you very much. Love you. And if you guys want to call in, somebody should call in because it's kind of rude if you don't. 609-241-7103. You could just say, like, good luck, you're doing great, you're doing crappy. Like, I mean, some kind of feedback, you know, would be a little bit appreciated.
We had a lot of callers last
week. We did. John, Shannon.
I see the stream working.
Okay. I don't know. Shannon, the stream's working, apparently. You know me and computers. I don't know. Maybe it's your internet. So another thing is I've been trying to do is to practice gratitude every day. Obviously, that's like one of our things that we should do. So how do you practice gratitude every day?
Through my outreach, I get to see what it could be firsthand.
Right.
So I lost my sister to active addiction 2 years ago, and since then that's when this volunteer and advocacy started, because I felt like that's what I call when I came out of the church basement and brought all the stuff that I learned out to try to help people not have to plan a funeral.
Right.
So that's how I practice my gratitude. I know where this could go if I don't do what I need to do for my recovery.
Right.
So helping is how I practice my gratitude.
I tried to make gratitude list. It's tough sometimes.
That was the same thing with me. You know, once my daughter, I mean, she's 2 years, you know, in recovery.
It's amazing. That is so awesome.
And she's really, you know, doing great. But, you know, that's what brings you to this. I mean, I don't think I met one person and just walked off the street. You know what I mean? Because they wanted to help. I mean, they were touched or affected in one way or another. And
have you noticed how many times that light's flickered?
Yeah, I know. I need to buy new bulbs.
I seriously just think it's me. Like, I was literally at a friend's house last night, and she's trying to show me her new computer. It's like a touchscreen. Her name's Denise, and you should be calling in, Denise, because I know you're listening. So I'm by her computer, and, like, just wouldn't work. And I'm like, I'm telling you, just, like, electronics and me just don't function well. So that could be the issue with my little sister.
Well, our live stream is working again. Hello, all of our YouTube fans out there.
Hi, guys. I didn't, these chairs are, like, weirdly comfortable.
They are comfortable.
Actually, I got this. All this furniture came from somebody today. It was in a warehouse from another nonprofit, and they were like, hey, we have some furniture. And Kevin said, you might want to come look at this stuff. It might be something you can use for the radio station. And I saw this desk, and I was like, oh, I want that.
Sold. Absolutely. See, that's perfect. It's all about, like, giving and giving.
That used to be our setup. That round table over there was our original radio table.
I'm trying to think, when I was here last April, I think you had this already.
Yeah, this might have been in place, because when we first moved in here, and that was over a year ago, the desk was over here,
right.
And I had just a little straight table.
Yeah, it was definitely like a whole new setup for you.
Yeah, COAD Recovery Radio has come a long way.
Just took a screenshot and sent it to me.
Let me see that.
That's so funny.
Let me see it. Leave me hanging. Jeez,
I know,
please.
Sorry.
It's just... That's awesome. Good job, Bill. That is perfect. So another thing, like, with recovery, for me, I go to a home group. So a home group is a Monday night, and it's like a place where other people know where to find me. And, you know, volunteering that, whether you're hosting the meeting or handing out key tags for people celebrating anniversaries. Well, now I have to, I'm GSR, so I have to go to Area. So I got to experience Area last night. It was very interesting. And it's a person or two from every home group in the area, and they have to get together in a gym-like facility and debate and debacle. And I'm just, like, practicing my own filter, and I just kept my mouth shut. I know. Isn't that, like, that is, like, big.
But sometimes you have to not keep your mouth
shut. I know.
You feel something's, you know.
This is a skill that not enough people work on, is listening.
It's tough.
We all talk real good.
Yeah, that's true. It is hard sometimes to listen. I know, too, even, like, when I am having a conversation with someone, I'm not listening to what they're saying. I'm trying to listen to what's in my head about what I'm going to say next. It's awful.
That's a skill that's...
Practice.
I have to work on for work. Because mm-hmm. you know, of course I would have all the answers.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to hear, like, between the lines.
Right.
Do, you know, motivational interviewing. Right. I'm sure you're familiar. And it's hard.
Right. Why don't you mention what's going on tomorrow? So what's starting?
Oh, our Recovery Coach Academy, which starts down in Williamstown tomorrow.
Okay.
That runs from Friday.
You said, like,
I messed that up. I'm sorry. It starts Sunday, this Sunday, 1/22, and runs through next Friday, 1/27. It's 30 hours altogether. It's at the Williamstown Library in Monroe, Gloucester County. And that is our recovery coach class. And that really gives you the skills to really learn how to deal with addiction and your loved one, or, you know, if you're going to get into recovery coaching, which is, you know, getting to be big right now with assisting in police departments, mm-hmm. emergency rooms. And I just think those skills are going to grow. There's also an ethics class that goes hand in hand, you know, with that. And somewhere mid the year this year, that's all going to change to be,
right.
You know, one class. So yeah, it'll instead of it being a 30-hour training, it'll be a 46-hour training. And then you have to do your 500 hours of volunteer time, 25 hours of supervised volunteer time.
Mm-hmm. See, that's awesome that they even have that option.
And then you can become, you know, a certified recovery specialist with the state of New Jersey, you know, once you accomplish all that stuff. And you can, you know, be used in the police departments. I mean, we have several care programs in Robbinsville, mm-hmm. West Windsor here, and then there's some other programs, Hope.
Now, what would you do in the police departments? Like,
well, what'll happen is if someone... Let's talk about Robbinsville, since they're right on 195,
okay.
and they're in the heart. You know, right now, heroin is cheap in Trenton, and you have people traveling from Ocean down 195 to Trenton to cop and drive back to Ocean. So our right. friends in Robbinsville are just intercepting them left and right. I was reading the police blotter this morning, and I just laughed because Robbinsville was all narcotics, 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 and every single one of them was heroin, 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 heroin.
Right.
So what happens is when they're arresting someone for DUI, driving under the influence, possession of heroin, you know what I mean? If it's not something that they absolutely have to be arrested for, like they had 14 keys of heroin in their trunk, you know, they're going to jail.
Right.
But if it's somebody who was using, driving under the influence, that type of thing, they still get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But they're given the option to have a recovery coach come in and speak with them. And, you know, they
like
can go, instead
treatment.
Of going to jail, they can go right to recovery. I mean,
right.
we'll take them right to a detox right there on the spot, you know, and get them into a system and into treatment. If they pursue that whole program through the end,
right,
everything goes away. The it's expunged, you know what I mean, the whole thing. But what happens for most kids is they get arrested. And even though they can go through drug court, and that will be... expunged from the record within a year's time, the newspaper articles don't go away.
Right.
You know, they're there forever, you know, and they follow you around. And most employers, you know, Google you
all that,
when
yeah.
they're going to hire you today. So,
yeah, you can get anything on Google. You know, I
can speak for my daughter.
Swim time,
you know, I mean, she was convicted.
Trials.
She was convicted of nothing. you know what I mean? Has no record whatsoever. But you Google her name and, you know, there's her mugshot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's going to be a good program for them to get.
Well, if they, the police departments and the municipalities themselves actually expunge those records, but how do you expunge a news story?
No, yeah, that's absolutely. Soaked through the you can't. Internet, you no know? Way. Definitely not. And that's the thing. It's like literally like every day I'll go online and someone is dying. And it doesn't say. Normally it's like suddenly some 20-year-old that suddenly dies. You know how they die. Like something's going on out there today.
My ride's here.
See, they're saving lives though. Like that's what we're all about. The saving lives. If you want to call in at 609-241-7103, yes, I have it written down because I don't have it memorized yet. Deal with it.
Very good.
I tried.
We're doing it in Philadelphia, too, the CRS programs.
Oh, good. Because mm-hmm. That's probably where I could get trained if I, because I probably couldn't get trained in Jersey, could I? Well, I don't know.
For recovery coach?
Yeah, because I'm in PA.
Recovery coach is universal. It's the same here in Alaska, in Connecticut.
Certification if you wanted to work in Pennsylvania with the Pennsylvania Certification Board.
Got it. Okay.
Here's what the recovery coach class is. The recovery coaches were giving us the ability to put more boots on the ground that could help now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if someone's going to pursue their CDC, it takes you 2 years, you know what I mean, to do that.
Wow,
we okay. need help yesterday.
So, I think I'd be the toughest recovery coach.
Well, you know, and a recovery coach can be for a lot of things. And you'll see we actually have, like, you know, a recovery coach section, you know, on the City of Angels website. Mm-hmm. That's if you're looking for a recovery coach. These are people that, you know, could help you or they're willing to coach you. You know, I mean, I get contacts from there all the time.
Right. Oh, that's awesome.
And basically, you know, it's somebody that, you know, we're going to hold them through. You're in recovery when you say you're in recovery.
Right.
It's not... When I say you're in recovery,
yeah.
you know what I mean? You could have just smoked a joint and said, hey, I'm in recovery right now. Right. Okay,
right.
So what are you going to do tomorrow? And how's that working for you? Mm-hmm. Those are my favorite words. Yeah. So how's that working out for you? Because I don't want to give them an answer. I want them to think, well, probably not too good. I'm not working. I don't have a house. I don't mm-hmm. have a car.
Totally.
I'm about ready to sell my cell phone. So how's that working for you? You know, and you try and get them to think for themselves.
Right.
It's like absolutely unmanageable.
We have it in all of our counties. I'm in Chester County. We work with the counties to do it through medical assistance.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. I got to get it on.
The training center is it. The one that we have is at 4th and Cal Health.
I'm like trying to think of like when I could fit that in my schedule too. I'm like, who am I kidding? I don't even have time to pee half the time, let alone. Okay. All right.
Starting is on Saturdays for 8 hours. That's the CRS program. Youth recovery specialist, which is more training. I think the CRS originally is 54 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The CRS is 90. Then there's 100 hours of externship.
Right.
I feel like when you're talking to, like, I constantly am, like, turning my back to the camera. I'm not trying to.
That's
fine. But I'm trying to, like, focus on what you're saying to me. I'm like, I'm being so rude.
No.
I'll get into that with you then on Saturdays.
Yeah.
I'll get more info.
And there's a scholarship program, so it's scholarships.
Because that's the thing, too. Like, so my little sister's what, like, 19, 20? I don't know. I'm the worst. I don't even know how old I am sometimes. But there are people that are, like, couple years younger than her, and like I could never imagine her even being around anything like drugs at all ever, and the people are dying younger than her. And like I know with this station, like our goal is it's not just recovery from like the disease of addiction, it's like recovery in all aspects, like from suicidal to eating disorders. You know, we're gonna have speakers on that, all those as well, like anything that has to do with like saving your life, being able to help others save theirs. Mm-hmm. All that.
It's all mental health.
Because you don't want to make a permanent decision on a bad feeling.
Well, you're not just getting high because you feel like getting high. Right. You're getting high because
you don't want
to
feel.
To escape from something,
yeah,
right, or numb yourself from something. So
I know for me, it was feeling of, it started with chronic pain. I didn't want to feel the chronic pain. It was prescribed. And then it became the feeling of, I don't want to feel the emotions. And then it's like, I just don't want to feel anything.
Yeah.
Feelings.
And that's it. And you get yourself into a rut, you know, especially, you know, when you get into something as hardcore as heroin, nobody's using because they want to. Right. They're using because if they don't, they're going to become dope sick. And, mm-hmm. and that is what it's all about, avoiding that. Right. I mean, is your bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we get a kid that's ready to go into recovery, you know, unfortunately, you know, mostly of what we deal with, they don't have insurance, you know. So, I mean, we have to wean them through the system. And it's just not like, hey, I'm ready to go into recovery today. You know, it would be great if our system was geared to be great. Let me make a phone call. We'll get you into a bed and get you right up there.
Right.
Unfortunately, mm-hmm. you're right. Yeah. It does not work like that. Right. You know, I mean, it's, hey, I can get you a bed. What's today? The 20th? I can get you a bed on February 12th.
Yeah, that's hard.
Right. So what do you do with that kid? They're not going to not go back to something because they're going to be sick for those next 12 right. days before they get there.
Absolutely.
So we take them to the doctor, we get them checked out, you know, they can, you know, get a subscription of Suboxone, you know, where at mm-hmm. least that is safe, you know, until they're ready or a bed is available. I'm hoping, at least in New Jersey, you know what I mean? And I really see even Pennsylvania seems like they're making huge strides, you know what I mean, in the recovery community. I mean, it just seems in this past year, you know, a lot of good things have happened. Yeah.
Right, because people are finally talking about it. It's
We lost 1,600 souls in New Jersey alone in 2015. 1,600.
I don't even know the numbers for...
That's insane to me.
It's a lot.
I mean, 1,600 lives, you know? I mean,
old, young.
We lost one person to the Zika virus, and we had 17, you know what I mean, press conferences, you know?
Yep.
You're right.
You know, we lost 1,600 people, and mm-hmm. we're just getting, yeah, maybe we ought to take a look at this.
Right. What? Maybe it's a problem.
Well, and it's not just anybody. I mean, it's not poor. It's rich. It's poor. It's,
from
I mean,
jail
man,
to Yale. Yeah. I love that saying.
I mean, what, how many A-listers alone this year did we lose? You know, Prince. I mean, I can think of at least a half a dozen.
A ton.
And that's crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, it's everybody. And it's something
like
that has to be addressed.
And it's like not one singular person. But I feel like a lot of it started from medication. Being prescribed certain medications.
It does start from medication, and you still have that battle going on now with doctors going, well, you know, government can't tell me how to write a prescription. Well, apparently we have to, because you're not responsible enough to know.
Right.
You know that the 10-day supply is not enough. I went to the dentist for a tooth thing. You gave me 30 days worth of Percocet.
Right. Yeah.
I just never took that stuff, but they were like, here you go.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's all they know too. You know, because they learn the science. And, like, don't get me wrong, like, modern medicine, like, props to it. But, like, sometimes we need to go back to the basics a little bit. Like,
And
we are, there's legislation now for the reporting of each narcotic for, you know, the DEA. And there's some things that they're trying to do to help stop. Is it ever going to stop fully?
No.
You know, it's never going to stop. But we need to stop putting people in jail. We need to decriminalize. We need to triple the money we put into recovery and recovery programs. Mm-hmm. And that, and only that, is going to solve this epidemic.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think...
You know, and you need to get more and more self...
marijuana should be decriminalized? Honest opinion.
I think everything should be decriminalized.
Yeah. I got news for you. I mean, I'm...
Nobody... I don't know. This is my personal opinion. No one... is dying from smoking a joint, okay?
That's exactly what I was just going to say. Took the words right out of my mouth. Thank you.
And if it's going to stop the prescription writing of opiates for pain and for different things,
mm-hmm.
it might be... You know, it's a natural right. substance, but again...
It can cause...
It needs to be kept out of the hands of children because right. they're developing minds. You know what I mean? Right. I don't care what a 45-year-old man does sitting home.
I'm telling you, there. Okay, so I just moved into the house I'm in, and it's been a little over a year, and we bought it from an older couple, and they, I'm telling you, there is a bag of pot somewhere in the heater, because every time I'm downstairs in the basement, like, doing hair, it smells like weed, and it's driving me crazy, to the point where I'm like, I asked my dad, he's a police officer, I said, Dad, can you, like, come over with one of your canine dogs and, like, get rid of this? Because it's not, like, smoked pot.
It can be, like, a test case.
I can't stand it. It's not the smoked, like, that weird smell, like, after the fact. It is, like, the fresh bag, like, the old guy got skittish and, like, threw it somewhere, and it get it out. I'm tired of this.
You probably got stoned. Forget where he put it.
That's exactly what probably happened. I'm like, I'm tired of people coming over for their hair and being like, why does it smell like pot? I don't know. Figure it out. I don't know. It's just annoying. I don't know why I just shared that, but thanks for the share.
And the oil, like legally, the way that we can, there's certain prescription oil that the THC's taken out and they don't get high from it, so it doesn't.
It's just the CBDs, you know what I mean, which mm-hmm. are really the medicinal part of, yeah. of that.
Speaking of oils, I have my oils on, so speak it on the radio. So it's not that one.
To do it where we're not going to cause a whole nother generation.
Right, and it's babies and it's everyone.
It is. I mean, it's sad. The people are living in squalor when they don't want to continue to use, but that's what the disease does.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes you not care. I mean, you don't care about anything, not yourself, not
your
surroundings.
Well, you're like possessed. Like, I look at it as like a being possessed by a demon.
I when my daughter was in her active addiction, we called her Reagan from The Exorcist.
Yeah, I'm like thinking, that's a cool name though.
There was no semblance of the girl that I knew, you know what I mean, in her mm-hmm. when she was like that. She was argumentative. Everything was your fault. Everything was about her. Everything was drama.
The manipulation.
I mean, it wasn't my daughter, you know. Seriously, mm-hmm. that's how we...
I remember my mom saying that to me a bunch of times. I was like, who are you?
Even when who I counsel, you know, when our radio station used to be, you know, at the Dwyer Center. And when we were done doing a show, you know, we'd come out on Wednesday nights. The women's meeting was there. Mm-hmm. And they'd come up, oh, you know, how are you? Hey, my daughter got arrested. And I'd be like, that's great. And they'd look at me like, are you out of your mind? And I went, how'd you sleep last night?
Wow. Probably better than they
like
ever
a baby.
Spent.
And I said, why? Because you knew where she was. She was off the street. She had a roof over her head. And you knew what she was doing. Mm-hmm. I said, this is probably a blessing to you because one of two things are going to happen. She's either going to actively go, this is going to force her actively into recovery, or she's going to tell you, you know, screw it. I'm not doing it. And that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. We use F it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because why? Hey, you're going to upset your mother. But F it. I did it anyway. Hey, you're going to lose your job. F it. I did it anyway. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's the attitude that you have. So it's just because your attitude is F it.
I just love how you said F it because I was like, can I say that word? I was like, we'll abbreviate it. Like, absolutely. Because it is. Like, you don't care about
anything.
It's an
F it disease. You know what I mean?
It is. It's exactly what it is. Chuck it in the, well, it sounds better when you say the actual word, but chuck it in the F it bucket.
Yep,
it's like all rhymes.
And finding out, you know, what's causing the use, trauma, mental health. There's a lot of reasons. Everybody has a different story is a big part of what I know City of Angels is doing and Angels Emotion is doing. There's so many different reasons mm-hmm. and there's no one size fits all approach. So.
And there really isn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what works for me might not work, you know, for you or right. might not work right. for you.
Person-centered and really getting to know that person and finding out what's making them tick.
And that's really what it's all about. It's you know, when we sit down with a kid who's like, hey, I want to go into recovery, you know, I mean, we're having a conversation yeah. with them. Mm-hmm. I want him to trust me. I want him to know I really deeply care about them. Yes. I'm not just going through the motions. I really care about you and the outcome, mm-hmm. you know. And we ask them, what are you doing? When was the last time you got high? I mean, you know. Even if their parents were with them, we're like, you know, do you want your parents here? Maybe they don't want to have this conversation in front of their parents. Right. You know what I mean? Only because
yeah, it's shameful.
You know, you respect your parents. You didn't wake up saying, "Hey, man, I'm going to become a heroin addict and just piss my parents off." Nobody has ever done that. No. You know,
you get a lot more honest when the parents aren't there.
And that's true, but you know, sometimes people are just embarrassed, or your pride, or whatever it is that gets in the way. So, you know, as a recovery coach, we're there to remove those barriers
right.
to help you
and make you see the situation for what it really is too.
Yep.
Because a lot of times, like when you're in the heat of your disease, like you can't really see how unmanageable your life is. You can't see the situation for
you know,
what
sometimes
it is.
I'm a dad. I'm going to tell you the dads are probably the hardest because it's a, why can't they just stop? You know what
I
mean?
I don't know. My parents have said that.
I mean, really.
Course.
And it's hard for them to wrap their mind around
it's hard
not being a choice.
Anyone to understand that doesn't have the disease of addiction or doesn't suffer from the disease of addiction to understand why you can't just stop.
And that comment makes me laugh because there's 80 million Americans that are addicted to something. Whether work, it's drugs, sex, the work, internet, you know, your cell phone, casino, work, I don't care.
Shopping.
We have addictive behaviors. Absolutely. And it all just depends on whether they're harmful or not harmful.
Uh-huh. Right now, my Red Bulls.
That's true. That's probably a great way to put it. How manageable your life is.
My life is so unmanageable with these things. Like, awful. It's disgusting. It is. It's like replacing one for the next.
Well, I drink coffee. You drink Red Bull.
Exactly. I drink both sometimes, though. That's awful. Jen's really late today, huh?
She is.
It's all good. Thankfully, it's not just me and Art.
This has been a great show,
like,
though.
It is. It's been awesome. We have, like, good stuff to talk about. Yeah. You know, it's bad luck to have Christmas decorations up past January 12th. I know. That's why the lights are flickering.
No, they're flickering because we've needed new bulbs for like a year now.
He's going to insist till the day he dies that it's just because he needs a new bulb. And I'm going to sit here and just be like, no, it's ghost. Look, it's fine. It's just, I believe in ghosts. It's all right.
They're out.
It's all gravy. So if you guys want to call in, please do. Just to give us a shout out, 609-241-7103. I wish I could do that with my fingers. I'd be like doing it sign language-y. I'm like, wait, seven? And I love that I could laugh at myself too.
I know.
Because I couldn't do that before. I was so embarrassed. Dude, the one time I had to speak, it was like an anniversary I had, and my mom came, my brother came, and the first thing I said was, I think I'm going to shit my pants. It was in front of like 100 people, and like I made light of the situation. And I was talking about four-step stuff, and I thought the four-step, it's taking a searching and fearless moral inventory. I thought it meant immortal. Like Mortal Kombat. That is legit what I thought. Like, I used to play that video game all the time.
Oh my God, you're pretty.
I love you, Nicole. Because, like, it literally, it's like dumb, ditzy moment. I love that. I love that you said that because that's what I thought in my head. And it's like, see, someone else can validate that that was, like, so dumb. It was. I had to, like, Google what the definition was. But, like, no shame in being, like, goofy.
Right.
I remember being little. I used to, like, always moon my mom for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But, like, being back to that, like, state of mind where I could just, like, don't. I care sometimes, but, like, I don't care.
But you're not focused on your next one, and that's what it becomes. Like, you can have fun, you cannot,
and be silly,
you know, worry about that constantly because it's an obsession. I mean, it's just,
takes over your entire everything.
You can't focus on life and being silly and you know, dance moves, because I mean, I don't really,
it's all you could, yeah, because that getting that next one was all you could focus on.
Yeah, I love when I'm helping someone and they see that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they get that, and I can feel that. I wish I could bottle that up for somebody that's living, you know, outside in January when it's 21 degrees and say, you know, it gets better.
Right.
It gets better.
And then people look at you that, like, you don't know what it's like. You don't understand. You're like, I've been there. Yeah. I've gone
walls,
through it.
They do. The walls, definitely, when I disclose that I'm in recovery, the relationship really does change.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very honest, and it's, I'm not clinical either, so it's more a, you know,
right, it's relaxed. You're not a clinician. You're not there going, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you about that because of HIPAA laws.
Right. It's real. It's like real.
I meet them where they are. I mean, if it's at rehab or at it, you know, halfway or their house.
Now, do you go by yourself?
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's
past that.
You know, if they have somewhere to meet me, that's like a step up from what I'm used to. Like, if they have a home, that's like a plus.
Right.
So, yeah, that doesn't bother me. Of course, if I felt some, and we have instincts, like if I felt this was weird,
uncomfortable,
meet me at Starbucks, you know, whatever.
Could always bring someone with you.
Right. I haven't had that experience. I don't go to Kensington by myself.
Oh, good.
There's always, we go, you know.
With a group or at least another person.
Yeah, typically I go with Carol. She's the founder. We were actually down there Saturday. That's who I go with. Like I said, that's who I did my externship with. So but we don't let them go. You know, nobody goes out on their own down there. Because it could be dangerous. We don't want anybody to get hurt. But for work, I go myself.
Right.
And it makes the relationship, you build that trust.
You know what? It's not the addicts that you need to be afraid of down there.
No.
The amount of gratitude when you give somebody Pop-Tarts.
And that's the thing. I wouldn't be afraid to go. Like, when you've already been there, done that, you're not even.
I'm going
to
give you one guess who doesn't want you down there.
My dad.
No.
The dealer.
Oh.
Because you're taking business away from them.
Good point. Ooh, we have a caller. About time.
Saving lives. Yes, let me put you in. I'm the speaker. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, everybody. I just...
Hi, everybody.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Hello?
Can you hear us? Can you hear us?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I just wanted to say hi. I was I saw the announcement on the Angelswood website.
Yep, you need to turn your radio down and you'll hear us better.
Hi, everybody. Oh, there's a delay, I believe.
Yeah. Yep, if you turn your radio down, you'll be able to hear us better.
Oh, okay. I was about to say there's a real delay.
Yeah, there's a second, 7 second delay because we never know what Bernadette's going
to
say.
I was making the mistake of talking to you on the screen instead of talking on the telephone.
Oh, no worries.
Okay. I would too.
So I just wanted to say that it's been a really great discussion. And hi, Nicole.
Hi.
And I go out on Saturday mornings with Ronnie sometimes.
Yes. Hi.
Oh, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate you listening.
Appreciate
your
support.
Sure thing. And I guess one question I think that would be really nice is that people might think about is when people talk to me about it, they're like, "Oh, well, don't you think that maybe you're enabling them and things like that?"
Oh,
and like a discussion on that tonight might be a nice thing to have and just talk about. You know, it's not really enabling somebody. It's you know, and rock bottom and all that, because it's, you know, it's just giving someone hope and kindness and things like that.
I would love to talk about that because we get that question a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great topic.
Thank you for bringing that up.
That's a good topic.
All right. I'll let you go and have that talk. I felt bad that you were asking for phone calls and you hadn't gotten any.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Have a good one. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
So Jen just got here.
Hi.
How are
you? Hi, Jen.
Remember,
I blew through the Easy Pass. Don't have an Easy Pass.
Yeah, that's fine.
Wasn't that fun?
You're getting
a
ticket.
And I quit smoking 2 days ago. Yeah. Yesterday. Today's day two. Yeah, so it was...
So you are batshit right now. You are batshit.
I'm sweating.
I love it.
I'm sweating. And I use a stress ball in the car because it's... That's like my weakness is in the car. Like I just want like 10 cigarettes.
We'll be driving like 5 minutes away and Jen will smoke 5 cigarettes.
Yeah.
Like, cause she just like.
I just light up. I don't know what it is. I'm putting these oils on. But yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, I got stuck at work. I was working on a case and, you know, and then I had
and Jen works at a recovery facility. So, you know, she's saving lives.
Yeah. So. How's everyone tonight? Nicole, I'm so happy you're here.
Thanks for asking.
How's everything going?
Good.
Busy, you know.
Good. Busy.
Busy.
Doesn't take a break.
Yeah.
Addiction, no. You know.
Jen is like the sun. Like, she just like brightens up the room.
She is.
So let's talk a little bit about the topic. So we had a caller, and she suggested a good topic to touch on.
She did. We get that question, and you guys probably do too. I'm sure you're familiar with that question. Are you enabling our people that we do outreach to? No, I don't think Pop-Tarts enable anybody. That is usually my standard answer,
And it's, are you handing them cash?
No, it's food.
As long as you're giving them food, clothing, that is not enabling.
And you're giving them
sustaining life to somebody who needs help right now.
Enabling to me is handing them money to go use.
Yes. Those are basic needs. Everyone deserves to eat. And everyone deserves to have clothes.
We get a lot of questions from parents. You know what I mean? Especially when it's they had just found out that their child is, you know what I mean? Is an addiction. And they walk that fine line between is this enabling and that enabling. I have to tell them, you know, I wouldn't give them cash.
Right.
If they come to you and they're hungry, well, come on, I'll take you to the diner and buy you something. Right,
absolutely.
To eat.
I agree.
Or
with
I'll take you to 7-Eleven and I'll buy you some food, whatever it happens to be.
Yep.
Don't give them cash, and there's no reason you should be guilty about helping anybody as long as you're just, you know, not supplying them. It's like the people
funds
that are
to pick up,
you know, in Trenton. I know they're sitting, you know, right when you come off of Route 1 begging for money. You know what I mean?
Right.
I know what they want the money for. Yeah. If you stop and go, come on, I'll get you a meal, they're going to go, nah, I'm good.
And you're probably going to get flipped off, honestly. Yeah, right.
Now, that's not going to be everybody. You know what I mean? But
right.
You're going to have some that are going, okay, great, man. I really appreciate
Thank
that.
You so much. Yeah, right. That's happened. I've like handed people stuff that I've had in my car.
So enabling is a fine, fine line. You know, another thing that, you know, we have with the City of Angels is our family program.
Yes.
You know, that's usually done on Tuesdays and I believe Thursdays right now.
Ours too, on Tuesdays. Yep.
And that really tells you how to, you know, deal with your loved one who's, you know, actively in the throes of addiction, and it talks about enabling and you know, the do's and don'ts and you know, the things you don't know. I mean, you know, I didn't know about heroin.
Right.
I knew it was a bad word.
And what's amazing,
but I didn't know anything about it.
They also have meetings for family members that they could go to, like the people that are in active addiction, where they could go and get help.
There's Naranon, which will teach you to
Al-Anon.
Release with love.
Am I allowed to start on? I don't know if that's one. C-A-Don.
You know what?
Anything
Where
non.
Do you go? There's just not. I mean, you know, there's Naranon. Naranon is the big one. I mean, you know, even I can't even think of
craft
of like a heroin, like a what's the word I was looking for?
Yeah,
just heroin.
Yeah, okay. Because that's what I wasn't sure.
I mean, we had one at City of Angels at one time, maybe two years ago, but it just kind of dissolved. And
into,
you know, people don't want to go to that.
Sure.
They don't want that stigma of it's. You know, they'll go to. They like the AA meetings.
Mm-hmm.
The AA meeting is packed. There's 100 something people that go to that meeting on Monday nights.
Right.
You know, at the Dwyer Center.
For the Naranon, the Anon, or you mean?
Well, it's an AA meeting.
See, for me personally,
but most of our kids go to that meeting because they like the fellowship of that meeting.
Yep.
You know, it's a big meeting.
And there is the AA. There's also NA, and I know sometimes NA gets a stigma, which is a little load of crap that like people don't have clean time in NA. But I'll tell you what, like a lot of people that I know that are in NA. Have a lot of time, like a lot of time.
You know what? There are a lot of programs out there.
It's whatever you feel more comfortable.
And you have to go with what works for you.
Yep,
absolutely.
Where you feel the most comfortable.
Some people some people will swear by the 12 steps.
Or smart recovery.
Smart recovery.
Church. Yeah. Who knows? Wherever you got to go.
Medically assisted treatment. There are a dozen different types of recoveries out there.
If your mom's not planned in your funeral...
That's all that matters.
That's all that really matters.
And it's what works for you. I'm going to tell you, my daughter tried 12-step. That didn't work for her. She went back at it. She did it on her own, to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to, you know, I hooked her up with a scholarship to, you know, an IOP, which she did kind of part-time for a while. And she got to see a therapist, and she got to see a psychologist. And you know what I mean? She got to work to the root of her problems of why she was using.
Yeah. Right. She's alive.
And that's what most people don't give it the time to do. You know what I mean? Is to find out what the root of their problem is. Like, what is driving you to go, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
My dad has, 40 years without a drink. And he never did a 12-step program.
Yeah.
It's just not for everybody. Right. I'm not saying it doesn't work because apparently it does. I mean, millions of people have gotten through their addictions.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Using that program.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not for everybody. It's whatever works for you.
Multiple pathways.
Yeah.
Multiple pathways.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all we can do is support them, take away the barriers, and hope that they'll see the light. You know
and
what I mean?
Talk
and when
about
they're ready,
it.
They're ready. And that's
all
right.
The barriers,
and you know what? They need to see hope. They need to know that there's light at the end of that tunnel.
Right. And not be ashamed. To say that, like, I mean, because I do. I get like that myself. Like, sometimes I'm like, ooh. No, like, I'm in recovery, and I am freaking awesome. Like, hello.
Yeah.
Not be afraid to say that. Not be ashamed to say that.
Well, you know what? People are afraid of the unknown, you know? They don't know what recovery is going to bring to them, you know?
Right.
Ooh, we got another caller.
We have a caller.
Hi.
No, it's because I'm here.
Exactly.
It's because I'm here.
Exactly what it is.
Sure, hold on,
I'll
put you on the air.
Thanks.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, everyone. This is Anne. Calling in regards to AIM, how they, well, first of all, with the new president.
Hi, Anne.
Hi, Anne.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, I know.
Thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
No, I love you.
So with coming into office, I'm concerned about him rescinding, like, our health care and what AIM will be doing to... are you there?
Yeah, we can hear you. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. What AIM will be doing, like, because I know at one point we went to Washington to have the Good Samaritan law passed, and I'm just concerned about all the all that we fought for so far, that it'll all be taken away. Does AIM have anything on their calendar to go to Washington in regards to health care?
Well, it's going to be curious to see who... is going to take over the Office of Drug Control Policy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that'll be the testament of what happens.
I have to believe that that is going to continue on. There will be a new drug czar for the Trump administration put in place.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
He's a big advocate for this.
Yeah,
as well.
He is a big advocate for this. So it's a sit back and see what happens. But I'm hoping we're going to continue to make forward strides.
Yeah, there. Definitely.
Yeah, and we do. And Carol's on the mayor's task force.
Right.
So we're doing that, and you know, the state reps, you know, she's doing with the representatives, with Gary Tennis. She's, you know, she's involved with all that. So we'll keep trying. I hope nothing gets fighting.
You know, we have Kevin Mira, even through the City of Angels, that, you know, he's been pretty much a staple in the White House with Director Botticelli there, you know, because he lost his son, you know what I mean, to addiction. They really have a whole group of parents that have started organizations throughout the country that they really lean upon and advise, you know, and take their input into, you know, the shape of that how that policy is going to take shape.
Yeah.
So hopefully Kevin will be still involved in that process, and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, we have a big mouth. I don't take no for an answer.
Finally made it.
I know.
I'll be watching more. So, all right, you guys have a good night.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Right, have a good one. So, is it almost time to wrap up?
It is almost time to wrap
up. All right, so I'm going to end with my little sayings, because that's what I like. So, this is about motivation. Choose ambition, and with full force, expect that it is possible and that you can make it happen. Give constant attention and committed effort to your dreams, and your motivation will perpetuate itself. Demonstrate a positive attitude as you strive for great things, and take care to create a supportive environment around you that amplifies your motivation. So thank you guys for listening. We're out with Nicole, Jen, Art, and Bernadette. Have a good night.
Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
It's the moment we needed the most. You kick up the leaves and the magic is lost. Tell me your blue skies fade to gray. Tell me your passion's gone. Time. friendship is lost. Cause you had a bad day, you're taking one down, you sing a sad song.